I'll be presenting this morning on mumps surveillance in the United States during the period 1994 to 2008. Today, my talk will focus on the trends in mumps before the 2006 outbreak, characteristics of the outbreak, and what's happening now with mumps. I will also review some of the quality of the surveillance data reported through the National Notifiable Diseases Surveillance System, or NNDSS. Finally, I'll close with a few conclusions and a request for your input. As you know, mumps is an acute viral illness that can present with parotiditis, other salivary gland swelling, orchitis, aseptic meningitis, nonspecific respiratory symptoms, or in some cases, be asymptomatic. Mumps is transmitted by direct contact or respiratory droplets. Following vaccine licensure in 1967, reported case numbers declined rapidly through the early 1980s. The United States experienced a resurgence of mumps in the later half of the 80s, which was followed by a measles resurgence. In a response to the measles resurgence, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices recommended routine vaccination of children with two doses of a measles-containing vaccine, preferably given as MMR vaccine. This, in effect, got two doses of mumps vaccine to children as well, causing case numbers to continue to fall through the 1990s. The rest of this presentation will examine the details of mumps surveillance during this period, keeping in mind the elimination goal set for 2010. In 1968, mumps became nationally notifiable through NNDSS. National surveillance data are used to guide the national vaccine program and policy making. Mumps cases are investigated and reported using a standard form that includes core variables such as age, date of birth, sex, race, ethnicity, county, and extended field variables that collect important additional details about each case, including vaccination status, number of MMR doses received, lab results, transmission setting, and epidemiological links. In 2007, the Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists revised mumps definitions and classifications. To be classified as a confirmed or probable case, a case now must have a clinical symptom compatible with mumps. Classification of a case as probable now requires an epidemiological link. Criteria for laboratory confirmation include isolation of the mumps virus, detection of mumps RNA by RT-PCR, detection of mumps IgM antibody, or a fourfold rise in IgG titer measured by a quantitative assay, or seroconversion from negative to positive using a standard serologic assay of paired acute and convalescent serum specimens. Laboratory testing for mumps in vaccinated individuals or persons with disease history can be challenging. Serologic results must be interpreted with caution, as false positive and false negative results are possible. Vaccinated cases may not mount an IgM response. They may not have a fourfold rise in IgG antibody, and they may excrete mumps virus at lower levels and for a shorter time period. Therefore, mumps cases cannot be ruled out by negative lab results. For suspected mumps cases with negative lab results for mumps, diagnostic testing for other causes of parotiditis may be helpful. Examining trends in mumps before the 2006 outbreak, we see the number of mumps cases declined steadily from 1994 to 2005, when the national incidence reached 0.1 per 100,000. The seasonal patterns of mumps, with higher incidence late winter through spring, disappeared during the latter half of this time period. Between 1994 and 1998, about 900 mumps cases were reported annually. This declined to approximately 300 cases per year between 1999 and 2005. Though relatively few specimens were submitted for genotyping, a variety of genotypes were isolated during this time period, A, C, G, and H. Only one small outbreak with 31 cases occurred during this time. This outbreak, in a New York State summer camp in 2005, was linked to a case in a visitor from the UK. Characteristics suggestive of mumps elimination or absence of endemic disease transmission were present during this latter time period, including very low incidence and few outbreaks, lack of seasonality, and a variety of genotypes. From 1999 to 2005, incidence was highest in the 1 to 9 year age group. From 1999 through 2003, incidence rates across age groups held steady or declined. However, it is interesting to note the increase in incidence for 18 to 24 year olds, here shown in yellow, from 2003 to 2005. This could have been an indication of the outbreak to come. Unlike the data on age of cases, the data in NNDSS on vaccination status of mumps cases during this time period was far from complete. From 1994 through 2005, 73% of the information on number of MMR doses received was missing. The missing information is represented here by diagonal lines. There was no real improvement in collection of data on vaccination status over time. This high proportion of missing data made it impossible to assess whether mumps cases were occurring due to failure of the vaccination program or vaccine failure. Outbreak investigations from the late 1980s and early 1990s had helped inform on this issue, but no useful trends in vaccination status were available from NNDSS data during this decade. In 2006, 6,584 cases of mumps were reported from across the nation to NNDSS. The national incidence for this year was 2.2 per 100,000. Outbreak cases were first reported in late December 2005 among college students. Numbers increased, especially on college campuses, through the winter, peaked at the end of April, and declined through the summer. Small outbreaks on three college campuses in September and October as college students returned. The 2006 outbreak was focused in Midwestern states, and 18 to 24 year olds were the most affected age group. Although several genotypes were isolated during this year, one genetically homogeneous genotype, genotype G, was responsible for the outbreak. Again, 72% of data on vaccination status was missing from NNDSS in this year, making it impossible to describe this important characteristic of the cases and better understand the outbreak using NNDSS data. States were collecting this information, though, and informed CDC very early in the outbreak that the majority of cases were occurring in vaccinated persons, predominantly in two-dose vaccine recipients, as is reflected in data provided from state databases to CDC by the eight most highly affected states. Over half the cases had received two doses of MMR. As mentioned, the age group most affected by mumps shifted during the outbreak. In pre-outbreak years, mumps incidence was highest in 5 to 9 year olds, here shown in white. In 2006 outbreak, though incidence increased in all age groups, it was highest in 18 to 24 year olds, shown in yellow. In months following the outbreak of 2006, reported case numbers declined to approximately twice what they were before the outbreak. In 2007, the national incidence was 0.2 per 100,000, compared with 0.1 per 100,000 in 2005. In 2007, 715 cases of mumps were reported to NNDSS from across the nation. In 2008, 76 cases had been reported via NNDSS in January and February. From direct communication with states, NCIRD is aware of more cases than what has been reported so far through NNDSS. Three areas have reported major increases in mumps cases: Maine, Las Vegas, Nevada, and American Samoa. Small clusters continue to be reported in colleges and within households. After the outbreak, incidents by age group patterns are similar to what they were prior to the outbreak. 5 to 9-year-olds, here shown in white, are again the most highly affected age group, followed by 1 to 4-year-olds, shown in blue. While 18 to 24-year-olds, shown in yellow, no longer have the highest incidence in this age group remains higher than it was before the outbreak. If we examine selected variables from mumps over the time period 1994 to 2008, as illustrated during this presentation, the completeness of some mumps NNDSS variables, such as age, is quite good. Other variables that are important to understanding the recent perplexing questions about mumps are incomplete, although some have been improving over the years. Without more complete data, it is difficult to draw reliable conclusions. We need high-quality surveillance data to guide mumps vaccine program and especially policy. For example, should we be considering a third dose of mumps vaccine in outbreak settings, or routinely in settings of high transmission such as colleges? We can't begin to answer this question without high-quality and complete data on vaccination status of cases. In conclusion, mumps cases declined significantly from 1994 to 2005, but the 2006 mumps outbreak caught us off guard. However, there may have been a hint to the upcoming shift in age group from the data in NNDSS, where reporting on age of cases is virtually complete. Increased case numbers and clusters in 2007 and 2008 may reflect higher levels of reporting following the outbreak. On the other hand, trends in vaccination status have not been well described in data submitted to NNDSS. Vaccination data are key to guiding vaccine program and policy. Given the experience in 2006, we are concerned about mumps cases occurring on college campuses. Therefore, collecting and transmitting information on transmission setting is also important. Additionally, to assess progress toward mumps elimination, high-quality mumps surveillance data will be needed. Now I would like to acknowledge my colleagues. I thank you for your kind attention, and at any time, I welcome your feedback regarding roadblocks to reporting variables and any questions you may have.